tell us about this show. People aren't already familiar with it.
Well, it's a very interesting show in that and what I find especially interesting is this sort of fell in our laps. I was not familiar with Ned myself, having just recently come to Springfield,
right,
and he's down in Orlando.
He hasn't even been here for a while himself.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
This show took him to Orlando.
Yes, actually. Exactly.
Daniel Bush, who is he was Adam Chase in the original. He's our Adam Chase in this production, so he's reprising that role. Told me about it during our run of Lucky Stiff last spring, and said this would be a great show for OTC because it's small cast, small pit. It can be done with a minimal set. And so I looked at the script, and it was great. Well, then Ned started doing a bunch of rewrites and adding new music, and that made it even better. And so this particular show
he's been woodshedding it down in Orlando and working on,
Fringe festivals and doing his own stuff.
He actually originally premiered it there in 2010, a year before he brought it to the Vandevort.
Yeah.
But that was Julie Bunny 1.0.
Right.
The Vandevort did Julie Bunny 2.0.
This is at least 3.0.
This is 3.0. Yes. So it's actually pretty different.
And the show is about graphic designer Adam Chase, and he is the author of a sort of cult hit comic book, Julie Bunny International Spy.
Yes.
And in the course of the show, his recurring characters come to life on stage and sort of help him with his inspiration, and he has conversations with them, and he's sort of struggling continuing to do his creative outlet of the comic while managing his sort of mundane regular job as a graphic designer and his love life with his fiance Lindsay, his butting heads with his friend Laser Wolf, and his boss Mr. Brayford. And so we have this dichotomy of sort of worlds going on stage that brings his creative life and his regular life kind of butting heads a little bit.
Now, do the characters from his comic book help or hinder, or is that even giving away too much to even say that?
Well, let's just say through the course of the show, they help and hinder. I mean, there's a little bit of everything. And when they're representations of Adam's psyche, I mean, when we have our own internal monologues, our voices, you know, the quote-unquote voices in our head, so to speak, our consciences can help and hinder at the same time. It's kind of the same idea.
Right. This is very much about the conundrum that pretty – I think every working artist can identify with,
yeah.
You know, just this balance that you try to strike between, you know, your job that you have to do to pay the bills and make a living and your work, you know, that you want to do, your creative work and your creative outlet. And so
your avocation as opposed to your vocation.
Yeah.
And
so you find that your creative work sometimes begins to interfere with your job and vice versa, you know, and Adam finds himself kind of caught in the middle. So I think a lot of artists or anybody who's creative, which is everybody in my opinion, you know, it will identify with that balance that you try to strike, you know.
Well, talk about the music then, because this is not just a comic play. This is a play with music. So
it is, yes. I had an old musical director who always said, you know, a musical without music is just a play.
That's correct.
The music is. I've had a lot of fun working with this. Because of its sort of evolution, the only live musician that we have is our pianist, Nancy Moore. And the rest of the music that we have, Ned has actually written backing tracks and recorded backing tracks to provide some more interest for the music. And so that's
incidental music, you
yes,
might say.
Yes, right. Yeah. And so that's been interesting, trying to combine the live element of Nancy playing, who's also been our rehearsal pianist at all of our rehearsals, and combining that with trying to get the tracks to go at the same time. It's been an interesting practice session for me as a conductor. But the music itself has a lot of nods toward sort of classic musical theater. We've got some elements of sort of the hot jazz from things like Chicago. And Ned actually sort of riffed off of the bass line of Beat It, Michael Jackson's Beat It. We've got kind of a nod to, I think, Jesus Christ Superstar with some of our really low basso profundo parts. So the music, I wouldn't call it derivative, but it definitely has nods to and Ned, being sort of the perfectionist, the multi-instrumentalist and vocalist that he is, has really done a lot with this music and made it – there's some very endearing pieces of music in this. But it's very, very much nodding to lots of different genres.
Was it a hard sell to get you convinced to do it, or
– Oh, no, not at all.
I didn't think so.
I knew about this show back in 2010 and didn't get to see it. I was busy with a production of my own, but I've heard great things, and it was I was thrilled, you know, when Daniel came to us with this, and when Ned so graciously made himself and his play available to us. So I'm super excited to do this. It's been a real blast.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk about your cast then.
Well, it is a small cast. There's only five players, double cast. So each person who plays a character in the comic world also doubles as a character from the real from Adam's real life.
Some really interesting parallels there, too.
Yeah, you know,
no doubt.
Jeff Albertson, who wants to kill Julie Bunny in the comic book, also plays Mr. Brayford, who keeps heaping Adam with heaps and heaps of very boring, uncreative work.
The mean boss, yeah.
Yes.
Is in essence trying to kill Julie Bunny, right. Figuratively speaking.
So yeah, they're figuratively.
Really cool parallels there.
Yeah. And we were able to, because of how many students we had to come out to audition, we were able to understudy the roles of Julie and Penny Lindsay. That's the same character. And so on Sunday, those understudies will get a chance to perform as well, which is great. Although for us, rehearsal-wise, you know, having to run the show twice every now and then is a little taxing, but it's a great opportunity for those. And of course, we have Daniel Bush, who was the original Adam Chase at the Vandevort when SCT did this. He is reprising his role of Adam Chase. And we have current and former OTC students who have filled out the rest of the roles. It's been just a blast working with these creative minds. And you know, some of them, this is their first time in a lead role. They've done musicals before and choruses and things like that. But it's just been a lot of fun working with these exceptional students and creative minds.
Julie Bunny Must Die, probably version 3.something, as as Ned Wilkinson keeps making changes and improvements to it as he's been workshopping it. He hasn't come back for this. He's
actually he was able to drive up. He was here for several rehearsals back in March.
Nice.
And he will be here next week for the
Excellent.
Run. He's coming up on Wednesday and we'll be here for all three shows. We're looking forward to having him. He worked with the cast and I got to pick his brain a little bit about the music and the interpretation of some of the
Very
pieces.
Nice.
And,
we've been in constant communication through text and email. It's so wonderful to get a chance to work with the playwright, you know, because there are times where and also he's sort of workshopping the play, you know, so
absolutely.
So there are these times where, you know, we're working and it's like, wow, you know, this is here's something that doesn't make sense to us. And we could check with him. And what if we did this? And maybe not that, but I like that, you know. And so there's been this really great, great collaboration.
So maybe some changes that will emerge in his later versions that you all have worked out here.
I can only hope so.
Yeah.
Well, it's already changed from when we first got the script, you know, so.
That's been kind of, you know, it's just kind of a double-edged sword when you're working with a playwright who is actively working on the show. You know, we got the script sort of one rewritten scene at a time. We got some of the music. I got a big bulk of it, but they were like, he told me when he sent me the first round of music files, he said, well, there are about three or four pieces that I'm still tweaking and working on. And by tweaking and working on, we completely rewrite it. So as a music director, you know, anytime I've ever directed the pit of a musical or worked with the cast and the vocal stuff, I've always had, you know, everything was precisely done. You're renting the materials, returning the materials, everything's very precise. And because publication and rights holders, you know, they're very strict with what you can and cannot change. You have to clear everything with them. But with Ned, you know, I can Facebook message him and say, hey, Ned, we did this with the end of one of the tracks, That Kind of Wolf, in Act One. The end of the piece to me as a musician, I said, you know, this is just really awkward. And it was very much, again, it's one of those nods to sort of hot jazz, kind of the swing style from the 1940s. And I was like, you know, this, if we're going to do this like a classic movie musical or stage musical with these big bands, we need to change the end of this to this. And when I talked to him, I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, and then recently he's like, give me a recording of that so that I can, you know, make the backing track match it now. So I've got, you know, scribbles at the end of the piece in my binder. And so that kind of back and forth is something I, as a director, have never had the opportunity to do. And it's been absolutely wonderful.
He's been great to work with. You know, I mean, he's very accommodating. He's very hands-on, but he's not overbearing. He has a line, certainly. You know, there was a point where we had a suggestion that he just said, no. and I agree. You know, I mean, I kind of went back and went, yeah, that's too much. You know, but but it's just been really, really great to be able to communicate with
him. So if you happen to see Julie Bunny Must Die back in 2010 and 2011, you're going to be seeing a relatively different, in fact, in some ways, a starkly different show. when you see Ozarks Technical Community College's new production.
Well, if I can just riff off what you said for a second, when you said, you know, if you saw the show back when SCT did it, or if you happened to catch the original premiere down in Orlando with Ned doing that one, there, I believe Ned told me there were only three songs from the original that are still there.
It's a whole new show.
It's a whole new show. It's about a half hour longer. Some of the plot lines and side stories are vastly different than what the original was. Almost a brand new soundtrack to it. So don't think that this is going to be the same old show that you saw back in 2011. It's definitely a very, very different show.
It's very, very current, especially if you are invested in sort of geek culture and you like, you know, comic conventions and furry conventions, and the like. You know, this show is very, very current, and it's very fun. It's funny.